Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And welcome once again to the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. Well, we covered plenty of ground. We reflected on our different fortunes in the weekend,
yes,
in the football.
Look back at the football.
Yeah.
We found a very interesting new sort of diet health guru his day. We read out a bit of that.
Yeah, he was good. You've got a way of warding off foxes.
Yes.
And Kevin Day was here, big Palace fan. Writer and comedian, and we covered a lot of different sporting areas. He was on good form. So here it all is.
The only thing that amused me at Chelsea on Saturday, I'll let you talk about Spurs in a second. That's my last point before you have a bit of a rant.
So I'm not going to have a rant.
You?
What's the rant about?
Finishing.
Oh, yeah, OK, partly that. But, you know, most days that finishing would have been good enough to beat the goalkeeper, but it just happened not to be on this occasion.
But it was a rivetingly dull afternoon at the Bridge. You could even see, you don't often get that in the highlights of Match of the Day, where you get the sense, even in a short highlight package, what a terrible game. It was a terrible game with two very good goals from Chelsea. And
So you did a corker. You were sending me some half-time stuff saying, William is this, William is that,
well,
and then he goes and scores that goal, doesn't he, really?
Well, that
maybe you need to do that more often.
Well, maybe he needs to do it more often, being better, actually. And but right at the end of the match, it was an incredible moment where you just go, footballers, really? Newcastle, they'd scored from a corner.
Yeah.
They nearly scored from a corner. They had a big height advantage on Saturday all over the pitch, but definitely in the area. Mm. So they get a corner with the last kick of the game in extra time. And they take a short one, and it went wrong. And you start laughing.
Stick it in the mixer.
Come on, you've got to put that in there. You've certainly got to, haven't you? But anyway, they didn't. And apparently, the Newcastle fans felt the same. So, sorry. He said, oh, I really missed Fabregas on Saturday. I would have brought him on because Jorginho's so tired. Mm. Yeah, that's because when you had him, you never played him, and Jorginho's had to play 6 months, basically every game. It's brilliant, isn't it? Honestly.
Oh, well, you're going to sign somebody. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on. Possibly a couple of midfield players.
Yeah, but don't sign a striker, whatever you do, because that would be a good idea.
I think we're in the market for a striker now, by the sound of it.
A year later, it's such a political club, Chelsea. Last year, the manager, up till January, was fine, but during January, he went bonkers. He wanted the club to buy strikers, do something. So the whole thing went wrong and fell apart.
Yeah.
A year later, it's the same two blokes that you've got. Nothing's been done to rectify. And the manager's going, well, I can't play these two fellas. They're not good enough. So I'm going to play Hazard. You know, it's absolutely mad.
In desperation, yesterday, one of the boys I sit with actually said, I think it was after the 14th or 15th save overall. He said, oh, come on. I've had enough of this fella now. Can't they take him off? I think it was just exasperation.
Oh, yeah.
I've had enough of this fella now. Yeah. Can't they take him off?
Well,
but they were. I mean, you know, people have been saying, oh, there may have been people in the stadium thinking, oh, isn't he lucky the balls are hitting him? And yeah, and the finishing could have been better. But even in the stadium, you could see he was getting in great positions. He was making good calls, you know. He was, apart from great saves, you could see it was a fantastic
performance. That's why we're going to get David Priest on, because he talked technically how he anticipates. Yeah. And so it makes it look like a simple save. And how he uses his feet. I want to ask David if it's quicker.
Yeah.
Is it better? Is it more efficient to do that?
We'll never know how things would have panned out had Spurs equalised, because they had the equalised quite early on. The dynamic of the game would have changed because Manchester United were still
creating.
Spurs
would have got very confident. And, knowing that they were taking United apart, I think they would have gone on to win the game personally. But
you just had to put one of those away. I believe the prognosis on Harry Kane isn't good. And I think there's a pretty good chance, as we saw yesterday, this will be the fourth time he's done his ankle ligaments.
But football is so funny. You know, Spurs are challenging for the title. I mean, a great season. Chelsea are absolutely dull and boring. It's not really happening. And 1 point behind them. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
So it's weird, this. I'd say the fourth time you get the same injury, you start to think there's clearly got to be. I don't know if it's the same ankle, actually, but there must clearly be a weakness there, because you do it once, you must have a weakness. Well, again, we'll have a chat about that a little bit later on. But
he often sort of comes back too quickly, you know, which isn't good for
him. Yeah, he did last time. But they're going to be desperate, aren't they? They're going to have to be in the market. They've said Vincent Janssen is not someone who's in their plans. He played for the 23s the other day, cost 17 million quid a couple of seasons ago, but he won't be playing. So I don't know if they're going to be in the market in January or not for a striker. We'll see.
We'll talk about Salah and Pascal Gross. Honestly, how can they even pretend that that wasn't a penalty? It was clearly a penalty. But I did think Jermaine Genius, he had a slip of the tongue. He called Pascal Gross Christian Gross.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which was on Match of the Day, which was a bit odd, because I thought perhaps they were together at Spurs, but I looked it up, they weren't.
He's got that reputation now, Salah, which I think, to be honest, is undeserved, because I thought that the first time he was accused of diving, I thought there was contact and it was a penalty, and I thought that one was a penalty at the weekend. But as Jamie Vardy is probably going to find over the next few weeks after Saturday, you get a bit of a reputation sometimes. Yeah. And in the end, people don't buy the fact that that was a... I mean, this is the trouble. We're going to talk to Mark Halsey about this later on. It was so blatant, really, the Vardy one, that next time he gets completely cleaned out by a defender and doesn't get it, a bit like Gareth Bale used to feel that in the past at times, you've only got yourself to blame, really, haven't you?
You know, Oliver doesn't do the game any favour. He's a great referee, but he didn't do the game any favour by not booking.
Giving him a yellow card.
It doesn't do.
Mark Halsey joins us later on. We'll have a good look at all the games at the weekend with Motti as well. Kevin Day will be here shortly. Friend of the show, comedian and Palace fan. He didn't have the greatest weekend football-wise, but we'll look at some of the stories you may have missed. Also, we'll be chatting to, as we said, David Priest, the goalkeeping coach, former Sunderland keeper, about that performance by De Gea. And lots more besides. Don't Ask Me will be back as well. So, do you have anything else, Andy?
Yes, player of the week for me at Leicester was Mendy. No, you don't often get subbed at half-time, but blimey, did he deserve it, really. So needless for the foul, and he was at fault for the second goal, and... You know, you just look at the manager must have been going mad, but in the end, I did a few of my after-match interviews on Match Day, but I didn't do Puel because I just felt sorry.
Oh, yeah,
it's a real dead man walking. I just thought, you look so
cruel.
He just looks so haunted. I can't see him lasting the week, really, but we'll see how it goes.
So you'll be doing, you'll be hearing some of your impressions. You did quite a lot. I mean, the phone was ringing constantly. The WhatsApp was going off. I think every manager on Match of the Day you try to do an impression of. Why don't you just watch the football?
It takes me about half an hour longer to watch. You'll say to me, oh, Mason isn't very good, is he? I'm thinking I'm half an hour behind you. I haven't got to it yet. It took me so long to do them.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
The voice of them all, Andy Jacobs, will be in action. It's now taking him longer to do Match of the Day than it is the Match of the Day production team. But with us in the studio making a welcome return, also defeated like me at the weekend, it is Palace fan, comedian and writer Kevin Day. Hi, Kev, how are you?
Well, I'm very well, until you reminded me of what happened at the weekend.
Yes.
I was hoping not to be Palace fan for this one, just football fan in general.
Oh, yes.
So we can talk about other... I'm getting fixated on... They're slowly climbing... I've started to look out for Luton results because I'm starting to dislike
You've got
Watford.
An irrational hatred of Watford.
It's not irrational, it's completely irrational. But even someone said the other day, even Brighton fans, or Falmer Town as we call them now, even Falmer Town fans have got a certain dignity. You know when you hate a team properly, when you're proper rivals? It's like Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty. You know deep down there's a kind of mutual respect underneath the facade. That's how it feels out with us and Falmer Town now. But Watford are just... They're trying so hard to become rivals for us, and it's starting to work because they're really getting under my skin. They're the most graceless, charmless. Anyway, let's not.
But you know,
let's not make that a theme.
It's a shame because that Palace's goal would have been a goal to win any game, wasn't it? It was fabulous.
The own goal.
the Cathcart.
Fantastic.
Well, I'm amazed. I don't want to make this the theme of the day, but you know my views on VAR and how it's going to destroy English football within 3 years. I've slightly changed my mind because any game that Paul Tierney referees needs to be VAR'd to within an inch of its deathbed, because he went for a really unique refereeing style on Saturday, which is basically to give the whistle to Troy Deeney and just stand back and let him do the refereeing.
It's quite bold, isn't it? That?
Yeah, so Troy Deeney's tirade last week about referees after the Bournemouth game has worked very well, because, you know, whereas Wilfred Zaha got in trouble for saying the referees weren't protecting him, Mike Riley clearly decided that Troy Deeney had a point and that Watford needed a free game for 90 minutes. But anyway, as I say, let's not make this... There are more important issues. Neil Warnock talking about Brexit, sure.
Well, I just want to say about Roy there. Yeah. After the match on Match of the Day, Roy Classic. He's talking about Cleverley's goal. And he said, you know, and then John Cleverley scored a wonderful goal. I was thinking, who's John Cleverley?
Well, more to the point, who was that voice you were
just
doing?
Yeah, that's right. Well, more of that.
Even though you told us who it was, I'm still not convinced.
No, all I'm thinking else with Neil Warnock is that that Cardiff have probably said to him that they're thinking of going down the Athletic Bilbao route, that they only play Welsh players. So maybe this is a precursor to that, to going completely Bale and Ramsey coming back.
Well, obviously, it's very because as I came in, I heard you mention it and thought this would be interesting, but unfortunately, I got interrupted by Bob Mills, a very dear friend of mine, but whose views on Brexit are the opposite of mine, shall we say?
Yeah.
I'm closer to Warnock. But it just made me laugh because Warnock so upset with Liverpool last week and so upset with the EU this week. So for him to discover that Jamie Carragher wants a second referendum would probably infuriate Neil Warnock even more than that. And I'm all for an infuriating Neil Warnock.
He made the point that he was in a very bad mood. I don't exactly know why
I don't know.
Neil Warnock.
He did seem to be in a fairly bad mood. And I think maybe someone who knows how to push his button said, let's have a little pop at Brexit, shall we? Let's see how he goes on that.
How do you distinguish Neil Warnock from a bad mood in any other way? I don't recall.
They hadn't won, but they hadn't lost. But I mean, so it wasn't that they hadn't particularly been sawn off by a ref, had they?
If that's going to be his criteria for not being happy, he's not going to be happy most of the season.
It was the opposite. He got away with murder. Yeah. That was a foul by Joe Bennett. What was Lee Mason thinking of?
Warnock's a qualified referee now, remember. So. Yeah, the only time Neil Warnock's happy is when he's talking about his blinking tractor.
Well, yeah.
He's always on when he gets offered jobs.
Well, there'll be plenty of fruit picking jobs available for him. After Brexit.
Who's picking all this fruit? Oh, nobody, Neil. Oh, I hadn't thought that through.
I wonder how Neil Warnock would say that, though.
Yeah,
I mean, somebody could do an impression. Yeah,
I suppose you could look at some of the other Premier League managers and just ask yourself the question: are they in or out? I mean, someone like Pep Guardiola. It might be counterintuitive. He could be fiercely.
We could be so pro-Catalan that he could be...
There's method in his madness.
So, I would like to think that a good-looking, sophisticated, well-dressed man like that... Again, this is not a clever analysis, but I would like to think that a good-looking fellow like that would remain, wouldn't it?
Solskjaer favours the Norway solution.
Yeah, I think that's right. That's what they've been going, yes.
It's not just me.
Claude Puel wants a hard Brexit. I mean, we could ask... we should phone... Let's get one of our researchers to ring around all the Premier League managers to just ask them...
I keep thinking this must be a well-travelled path, but nobody else seems to mention it. It does look like Andy Serkis, who played Gollum, doesn't he?
Who? Solskjaer.
I think it has been touched on in the past.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not on Radio 3, because that's who I normally listen to. It's very, very rarely mentioned on Radio 3.
Radio 3 don't do football lookalikes that often.
Not as often as they should do.
No.
There's certainly a lightness about United that they didn't have before. And blimey, does it look bad on... It looks so bad on Mourinho, this, doesn't it?
Before we play you Beethoven's 10th. You ever notice that? Neil Warnock and Tony Soprano's mum. It's uncanny, anyway. Anyway, here's Beethoven. It'd be great. Well, it'd be a new string to their bow, though. If they're looking to build the audience.
I might try and sell them that idea.
Yeah.
I'm new to Radio 3, which is true. I love Radio 3, but I might sell them that
idea.
Just before the weather, at 11:30.
Just football lookalikes.
Before we do the atonal Stockhausen section, let's just have some football soundalikes.
That'd be good, wouldn't it?
Do you know what? It goes against screen, but I've actually enjoyed watching Man United play. I got a bit bored yesterday because I thought they'd be 4-0 down after about 15, 20 minutes.
Well, they could have been 4-1 down after about 85 minutes, but sadly that wasn't the case.
My favourite bit of the game was Graham Souness afterwards, just shaking his head at De Gea.
Yeah.
Just going, what sort of keeper saves everything with his feet? He said, it's just technically wrong.
He's just
kept United in the game, Graham.
Yeah. I'm not sure it is technically wrong. It might be better. We're going to find out later.
There's an infamous clip that's often shown of Graham Souness. Going in for a spectacular tackle for Rangers just above the knee. Very similar to Pogba's yesterday. Although I think he did get sent off for it, didn't he, at the time?
I don't think Souness was sent off.
Wasn't he sent off for that one?
I don't think he was even booked, I think, famously. I'm sure your listeners will...
Wow, maybe they can stand that one up. Yeah. Unlike the defender we made contact with, or midfielder.
This Jose thing, because somebody pointed out that when he left Madrid, they went and won the Champions League 4 years out of five or something like that. Then when he left Chelsea, the same players went and won the league under Conte the very next season. And now you see this. I mean, it must be such a relief when he leaves. I don't know what it is. Yeah, what does he do to people that make it so bad?
That's a fair point. But 9 times out of 10, those same relief players are being left with championship winning medals or FA Cup winning medals. They're winning things under him.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
they get
some
fed up.
Time though.
What's Portuguese for springtime for Hitler?
Yeah.
You wonder.
It does feel like
I know
that.
The Portuguese for I don't speak Portuguese.
No, what is it?
Desculpa, now for all Portuguese.
Okay, well, that's pretty good for a bloke who doesn't speak Portuguese.
Oh, well, I'm out.
Apart from that one phrase.
Well, I don't need to learn any more Portuguese because I've learned I don't speak Portuguese. I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, where do you think Mourinho's going to go next then? Because my dad asked me this question yesterday.
I think he's got problems. I mean, you know, it's
China?
Possibly, yeah. It seems to be the popular thing to do.
If you were a president or a chairman of a football club now and you were looking to make an appointment, you'd be worried when you'd look at Manchester United yesterday in the last few weeks and you'd think,
Do you know what?
Because he's a big commitment. He's a big commitment financially, and he's become a. It's hard to believe that Jose Mourinho is a high risk appointment as a manager, isn't it?
I think if you're talking about the top four clubs in Europe, yes. Otherwise, it's normally Andy I tend to disagree with because you are the voice of reason on this show. Yeah. But I would take
that's Mourinho, not difficult.
I would take Mourinho like a shot.
You would. You'd have him at Palace.
You'd have him at Palace. I'd carry him to Palace, but you only have to look at his I mean, you can always argue that except for his first club, that he goes to clubs that have got really good players, but he wins things. His record is, I mean, even that you say he didn't do well at Man United, they finished second, they won the FA Cup.
They were dreadful to watch, and that's the problem.
Well, Watford are dreadful to watch, but they're five places above us on the table.
You won't let go, will you? Dog with a bone.
But the thing is, that's always been the argument. Yeah, people say football's an entertainment business, but the people who say that are fans of the teams that are in the top four. Football's a results business, unfortunately. And most fans will tell you the same thing. It's wonderful if your team can score two. It's wonderful if your team can score one. But if your team can score two, three goals and win the game every week with attacking football, of course you'll take it. But you'd rather win things. And Mourinho still wins. And he's still young enough to win things. Also, you have to look at the players sometimes as well. The players need to take some responsibility.
Yeah, but not if it's happened three clubs in a row.
Yeah, it's not like
he is the common denominator of leaving a dressing room so unhappy that they start not to perform and underperform. And that's got to be his fault. You can't sort of say it isn't. I think it is.
I'm saddened to hear a Chelsea fan talking about a Chelsea legend like that.
No, they've turned on him. That's a different matter. Now, that's a different matter. That's a matter of him in his heyday. He was fantastic.
If Mourinho hadn't come back, the second time, would he still be a legend or has he been completely tainted?
No, he's still a legend. He still won it the second time he came back. I just felt that he won it, but at the expense of the future. You know, he got rid of players like Salah, like De Bruyne, like Schürrle, who were playing well, like Mata. And, you know, you sort of think to yourself, yes, they won, but they won in that way that he likes to win, which is with the old players he can trust.
Was the football demonstrably different second time round to first time round?
Yeah, it was worse.
It was it?
Yeah.
Really?
Started off better, but then got worse, didn't it?
It got worse. Yeah.
And can you, hand on heart, tell me that you genuinely thought when Salah, who had done very little for Chelsea, when De Bruyne, who hadn't shown much, can you honestly say that in the pubs around Chelsea, everyone was going, that's a mistake, should never have let them go?
Yeah, De Bruyne,
to be fair,
definitely.
He would sit there and say, this bloke's good, really? I can't believe what they're doing.
Yeah, Salah less sure.
Should we try and squeeze in one quick impression? Is it going to be time for that?
Should we do the sorry?
We'll do it after the break. We're going to get the sports news, and then we'll go through a couple of the many voices of the very similar many voices of Andy Jacobs. He says he's got a new attacking Sean Dyche. And I did think a lot of Sean Dyche yesterday because I was watching De Gea in goal and people said the amount of saves he's pulled off. And I did kind of think to myself, as Sean would, that's his job, by the way.
It was.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Did you know that Xavi Hernandez used to scan over 8 times in the 10 seconds before receiving the ball? It's therefore not surprising that he rarely lost it. Scientific studies have shown just how important scanning is in soccer. Players who scan more, for example, make twice as many successful forward passes than those who scan less. But training this skill is difficult, and that's why thousands of players trust Be Your Best, the soccer training app in virtual reality, designed to improve players' game intelligence. To learn more, visit beyourbest.com and use code POD20 to get 20% off your first subscription.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Hawksby and Jacobs here on TalkSport. Comedian, writer and Palace fan Kevin Day with us in the studio, and for all of us on the H&J team. Saturday nights really during Match of the Day is a constant bleeping of the WhatsApp group that we have with the very latest impressions from the Premier League managers. Andy normally does one or two. Did about six the other night. It was constantly bleeping.
Oh, I want to be on the WhatsApp group.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can be if you like.
So anyway, Sean Dyche going to kick us off. You think you've got a new attacking Sean Dyche?
Well, I've noticed his body position, so I sort of stood up and I tried to make myself
you're
big.
You're quite method, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, very method, yeah.
Let's see if it made any difference to the actual voice. Here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Very pleased. And
yeah, absolutely. Very pleased.
Oh, no.
From the players, you know, not just physically. Everyone talks about the physical side, of course, Premier League's tomorrow.
Yeah, and the players, not just physically. Everyone talks about it.
The mental side, you know, it's hard with them games. And
mental side, it's hard to win them games.
And then to come out of that.
I don't know, Kevin, I mean, what do we think?
I've always wanted to know what Sean Dyche going through puberty sounds like.
It sounds like at that point when his voice broke.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like Rainbow. It's sort of like Jeffrey
from Rainbow. I suppose he sounded a bit like that. I mean, honestly, the extended Dyche family will listen to that and think it takes him back to when he was about 13 and a half. It probably does, doesn't it?
Sean Dyche on your WhatsApp group?
Yeah.
He stole my protractor, sir. With one of those, suddenly he's right down there.
I'm sure Sean Dyche and his people listen to this show. Can we make a public appeal for him to save things that are easier for Andy to...
Yeah, come on, Sean. Maurizio Sarri, a man who has his hair cut every time Chelsea lose. Yeah, have you seen that?
Really?
He has haircut, yeah. He said if they lose, he goes and has a haircut. He hasn't got a lot to start with.
You look like Telly Savalas by the end of the season.
lovely contemporary reference.
Thank you very much.
There we are. Yeah, yeah. Welcome to Hawksby and Jacobs. Yeah, yeah. It's March the 4th, 1974.
You look like Prince Albert by the end of the season.
And from Maurizio Sarri, kind of.
Of course, goes to the ball in direction to the...
That's because he wants the ball.
So we need to attack the box with other players.
He didn't have... Yes, try doing that with some strikers.
Yeah, that's your editorialising. It sounded Russian for some reason.
He's on the bench.
No, Morata was not injured today.
No, he's just absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to play with the three small players.
I wanted to play with the three small players.
Well, that's getting...
Why, I don't know.
I thought that was really useless.
Hang on.
Yes, it was a bit like your tactics.
Yeah, you're making it up now. You're editorialising on a man's impression.
It's always a worrying sign when somebody says, no, wait for the last bit. Last bit's great.
Yeah. Don't cut the guitar solos coming up. Stay there. Listen to that demented ninth I played there.
For three lines, when you got angry, you actually sounded more like him than when you weren't angry until you got all playground at him.
Yeah. Well, can't I tell you, honestly,
I've never had a satisfactory answer. What are your family doing while you're doing this?
Well, first of all, my kids don't live with us, so it's only the wife, and she's...
Don't they come
around
to watch? I would.
She's usually watching Casualty or something like that.
Are you implying they don't live with you since you started doing this?
Yeah. No, they don't live with me since
they left quickly.
Are 39 and 36.
Sean Dyche is still John Major, says Dave.
48 when you had women, sorry.
JP540 says the Dyche sounds like Vivian from The Young Ones. Sergei the Meerkat. Dyche says Matt Nash. Gone a bit Fozzie Bear, says Peter Ski.
We both noticed this about Unai Emery, though.
Unai Emery, because his English is coming on, but he'll be speaking, and then suddenly he will attack a certain word.
Throw
and
an just, extra
whoa,
word.
And it really, your tea goes everywhere.
What happened to Unai Emery being the best manager Arsenal ever had?
Well, it's early days for him. I mean, far better for me to defend Arsenal. He's only been there 10 minutes. The last bloke was there 22 years.
His Arsenal fans need to tell that.
Yeah, well, let's hear from Unai Emery, kind of.
Marvelous for us, and also our plan game, I think, is not doing like we want.
Our game is not doing like we want.
Is the control in the 90 minutes, I think, we need more to...
And get in the 90 minutes, I think we need more to win,
we created chances. Is is bad result, but also...
Yeah, well, it's a chance, it's bad result, but...
It's going a bit weird now.
going back
to Radio 3, whatever that is, the Shostakovich Piano Concerto, just before we bring you that, Unai Emery and John Turturro, it's uncanny, isn't it? That's what they'll be doing on Radio... it's got the same hair as Dave Vanian from The Damned. Have you noticed that? He's got the same...
Well, you just had a go at him for talking about Telly Savalas.
Yeah, so, well, OK. They're still out there working. His hair's a different colour. But go and
Telly
check
would
out
be
the video for New Rose.
Still been with us.
He's got that Ray Reardon hair, isn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, it's Ray Reardon. It is very much in the Ray Reardon envelope. So, and other contemporary references. Yes. So, the Glentoran goalkeeper, Kevin.
Yeah, this is my favourite story of the weekend. Mm. This is Elliot Morris, Glentoran goalkeeper, who scored from about 80 yards from a long kick. And then didn't do, this is what I like about it, I don't like false modesty.
Okay.
He didn't do what Vinchenko did when he scored against Burton in midweek and admit that he didn't mean to score. He went, no, I meant I saw the keeper off his line, I felt there was a breeze, I went for it, I deliberately scored. Now, A, goalkeepers don't deliberately do anything. We know that from Nazi salutes onwards. Goalkeepers don't deliberately do anything. B, he didn't mean that. I love the fact that there's a goalkeeper here who doesn't go, well, I was a bit lucky, the wind caught it. No, I deliberately mentioned it. I like that. I like players who just go, no, who just blatantly say, yeah, of course I meant it.
Yeah.
It's in the same way that I like players who celebrate goals against their old team rather than, I prefer the Adebayor approach, running 80 yards to annoy people. I'd like players who just go, yeah, of course I meant that 28, that, we know Townsend didn't mean to score against Man City. Of course he said he did. And we love him even more for it. Yeah. It's like, but it's great. There's something about seeing a goalkeeper score that makes you feel 9, 10 years old again, because you only ever see it at school, basically.
I've seen it in the flesh. Paul Robinson scored against Watford. You'll be delighted. I'm sure you can just go and have a pint after this to celebrate.
my new favourite goalkeeper.
Yeah, Ben Foster was in goal. Danny Shipley, who went to the ball and didn't, and then he thought he was going to get it, and it went over Foster's head, bounced in.
What I really want to see is a goalkeeper. I've seen a goalkeeper nutmeg himself, which was Wayne Hennessy, which again is an indication of what sort of chap Wayne is. He's lovely, but you wouldn't have him in your pub quiz team. To nutmeg yourself as you're away at Villa, but I've always wanted to see a goalkeeper score from a header, and I know Schmeichel's done it, but I would love to. It's like I was furious with Hennessy on Saturday, a minute to go, go up. I want the keeper to go up with 10, 15 minutes to go.
Yeah.
In any game. Well,
from the very first kick, that would be quite bold, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I want the goalkeeper taking the kick off and then heading for the other box.
Now, Mick Harford took charge of Luton the other day.
Luton, my second favourite team.
Oh, yeah, of course you love him, don't you? Yeah, for obvious reasons. They took on Sunderland, his old birthplace. Very emotional for him. The thing is with Mick, we play cricket with Mick, and these days he wears glasses. And he was, you know, reputation was one of the hardest men to have played the game, not to be messed with. But a lovely man. But it's something about glasses, isn't there, that in some cases it can make you look even more menacing. And Mick has, I mean, he's not a menacing man, but I think a pair of kind of brick top style glasses can make. I mean, Andy, if Andy took his glasses off, he'd look far less menacing than he does there.
That's the problem with this segment is the people at home can't see you and I glancing at Andy slightly nervously because he's the most. I mean, you simply wouldn't start a fight with Andy glasses or not.
Well, take your glasses off and show Kev about your glasses. Would you mess with him there? Look, it's all coming
off. Oh, who's that little teddy bear?
Looks quite avuncular, doesn't he?
Little teddy bear just coming
once those little round glasses go on, it is
people
like...
who wear glasses, and whenever they take their glasses off, they always look a bit odd, don't they?
Yeah, that's very
strange.
Oh, yes.
It's oh, mama. But like, straight, but Mick Harford, it's strange how that glass, because every player of that generation, you say Duncan Ferguson, they know, always Mick Harford was the most terrifying man.
Yeah, yeah.
And they always say, yeah, nice fella, though.
Oh, I know.
Always come to see you in hospital. But the glasses, it's interesting. I don't know what it is about glasses. It's suddenly you either look intelligent or you look like you want to have a fight.
Well, I mean, if Michael Gove took those glasses off, I mean, as soon as he looks menacing when he puts them on, but when he takes, I mean, I'm just wondering, certain people that would look more menacing with or without the glasses.
Do you know, there's an air, they don't look alike, but there's an air of the Michael Gove about Andy, don't you think?
Yeah, I can see that.
That repressed men, like I say, you wouldn't.
Repressed.
You wouldn't. If you were in a pub with Andy and he put his 50 pence on the pool table or whatever it is before yours, you'd let him go ahead of you, wouldn't you?
I think you would, yeah.
He's just got that little bristling.
Talking of 50 pence, have you seen this? No, I've got a good segue into
it.
Roger Bannister will feature on the new 50 pence.
As we call it 10 Bob here on this show.
Look, there it is. Give me, I'll show you. There's Roger Bannister's legs.
No, annoying me, I've got to put my glasses on.
Sorry. You have a look first. Well,
let's have a look
gets his glasses. It's Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister. Roger's legs.
Bannister is, but Bannister with glasses.
Will feature on a 50 pence piece.
That's yeah, they're just iconic legs, aren't they?
Yeah, you have to see how many you can spend in 3 minutes and 59 seconds.
Yeah. What about the Isle of Man 50 pence piece?
On they go. Kev's put his glasses on, and strangely looks less menacing. Look, you look quite teddy bearish as soon as yours have gone on.
I have to take them off when I talk, though.
Yeah.
So I'm holding the newspaper in my hand, but I can't read it because for some reason, when I'm broadcasting, I can't wear glasses and talk.
Really?
Yeah. So hang on, just give me a second. Cover for me while
that's
I read it.
It's a strange business.
Have a look at Roger's legs.
It's a picture.
Oh, well, I'm taking it on trust that they're Roger Bannister's legs.
I think they
are proper old-fashioned shorts. And
yeah, they're
old-fashioned
legs.
Andrew wonders whether you're doing Unai Emery or Speedy Gonzalez, which is a fair question. I can't argue. With that.
Very and good point.
Can our listeners tell us, is that the first time somebody's body part other than their face has been on a coin?
That's a very good question.
Other than the three-legged man on the Isle of Man.
That's
a
very good question, actually.
Yeah. Talksport.com, 681089, tweet TSH and J, let us know.
Would you be happy if you were his family and they say we're going to honour him in the best way possible, he's going to be on the...
It's going to be on the 50 legs. Not his body crossing the line, just his legs.
Just
but they're
legs.
Iconic legs, aren't they?
Well, they are. Well, the Queen's got an iconic face, but they could use other bits of her on coins.
It would have been quite difficult to get that all of him on the 50 pence crossing the line.
Scale it down, Andy.
Chris Brasher behind him.
Let's hear from... I've got a feeling he made you sound like all the others, but let's hear from Manuel Pellegrini, shall we?
Oh, for goodness
Just finally, to take you home.
We are trying to grow one step more. I said when you start the season so bad as we did...
And we are trying to grow still more. As I said, we were trying to grow the season as we started to did.
It's easy,
but we're recovering some position on the table.
We need to continue playing.
And the diminishing returns.
If I was you, I'd play.
Winning mentality.
That's it, that'll do.
I like Paul's voice underneath that. It's not for me.
Do you
know my views. I'm fiercely pro-Remain, but if one of the up points of Brexit was you weren't allowed to do continental accents.
You'd be doing Neil Warnock every week, won't you? And variations of.
Well, apart from Sean Dyche, it is only continental managers that you...
Well, I do Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've ascertained from the very first moments of the show.
It's quite good, my Roy Hodgson.
Saddest sight of the weekend was the steward taking an A5-sized piece of paper with Puel out written on it from a lady probably in her late 60s, early 70s. Sorry, she's about 52. But there's an old lady with a blanket on her legs, kind of almost apologetically holding up a piece of paper that said, Puel out. And the steward's come over and said, I'm sorry, we're going to have to take that away from you.
No one's done themselves any favours there.
No, it's really...
One of the younger members of the family just stuck it there and said, you sit there.
You'll be all right.
Just come on, take the criticism for goodness sake. She didn't have a flag that she was passing across the crowd.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Good afternoon, it's Paul Hawksby and Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. Don't Ask Me returns just before 4 o'clock when I'll put 5 questions based on last week's shows to Andy. He's had a lot. We said we'd knock it on the head when he actually got it right, but there's been a bit of a stewards both times. It's always been a bit sketchy. I've set the questions too easy because he's moaned about it. I've got to be true to myself.
Yeah, be true to yourself. It's
and
always
set
a good,
decent
good
questions.
Rule in life, I'd say.
Yeah, I told you earlier on, Maurizio Sarri has his hair cut every time the team loses. It's a superstition that he has. Didn't you notice he was looking a touch cropped
the other day?
Yeah. But I mean, it's obviously quite a brief. I mean, I think it's the
guy. So if they go on like a 30-game winning run, does he end up really long?
I suppose he would do. Yeah, he'd look a bit like Mel Smith, wouldn't he? With the nature of that widow's peak he's got. I imagine he goes into the barber, and the barber just sort of shows the clippers to his barnet because he can't take too much off, can he? It's not a lot
really
there to start with. But
I mean, a lot of fans are sort of very unhappy with the football, and we are. I'm not happy with it either, but I can see what he's trying to do, and I think a lot of it is like it was with Conte. It's not entirely his fault,
No.
The way the clubs run and the transfer policy sometimes is mystifying. I mean, Sky doing this whole thing about being linked with Nathan Ake and everything. It's not what Chelsea. They just need a striker. They don't need anything else but a striker. That
does
is a
very odd
priority. Now, I had an interesting thing last night that I must have been about 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, here we go.
Foxes, but outside, directly outside. We're on the ground floor.
They make a lot of row, don't they?
God, such a row. They were screaming and screeching each other. And I thought, well, I don't really want to go outside because, they might go for me. So I remembered my last method of getting rid of foxes. Blimey, it works. It still works.
Okay, as delicately as you can.
What
is your fox system?
It's I mark the territory with my own fluid.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So you, yeah, okay. Well, I think maybe you should be a bit more specific. We, you go out with what? Yeah,
I didn't go out. I threw it out the window.
You didn't. You didn't go. It wasn't draft, was it? You didn't open a window.
No, I opened the window. I could see the fox there. I threw it at the fox.
Oh, that's not right.
Well, I just wanted to sort of get the area, and that's it. They went. They didn't come back after that.
Really?
So I'm going to go out there tonight.
I don't think I'd come back. Keep me away from your front door. I bet the postie's been looking over his shoulder, hasn't he, in the last couple of days? That can't be the answer to everything, Andy.
Well, that's not the answer to everything.
Yeah.
But I was amazed.
That bloke's back to try and sell us double glazing. Hang on, mate. Way right in the face. Yeah, don't try that at home, kids. Listen to Uncle Andy. But this was when they were in your garden, though, wasn't it? You were trying to keep that in your garden.
Front garden. They kept depositing on the front garden.
Yeah.
Really horrible.
It would be, if he does, it's true, you are in a block of flats, but we should point out you are on the ground floor.
On the ground floor, yeah.
Well, if you're on the third floor, that could get a bit evil.
That wouldn't be good, would it? Yeah. And yes, what have I got here? The producer has handed me something based on last week, where we went through the great question and answer of Amanda Chantel Bacon.
Yeah.
It's a woman who believes greatly in sort of health products. A bit of a sort of...
She's cosmic in the Paltrow envelope,
in the
pouch, isn't she?
She's in the Paltrow envelope. But this is beyond Paltrow, beyond Bacon, this
oh,
one.
Oh, yeah.
This is a bloke called Tim Gray, and it was a piece in
ordinary
the Times.
Ordinary name, but I'm guessing not an ordinary guy.
Yes, it's the cult of wellness. So he went through his day and he said, 7:45 a.m., I wake up having had on average 7 hours and 41 minutes sleep.
Okay.
I've analysed my sleep over the past 4 years and I know this is the perfect amount for me. I turn on the near-infrared light at the end of my bed and sit there for 7 minutes meditating to focus on my mind on the day ahead.
Yeah.
I take shots of probiotics and quinine, same thing that the sheet is.
Yeah, they're all into quinine, aren't they?
A supplement that comes from plankton.
Yeah.
And
you do.
Exactly. Then I turn on my human charger, a device that looks like an iPod with an earpiece that shines a light into my ear to give me energy.
Wow.
And I make my bulletproof coffee.
I bet they must love him at the gadget shop.
I think you need a bulletproof vest, mate.
Don't you think? He walks into the old gadget shop. Here he comes again. Quick, get that thing out with the light on the end of it. How much is it? Just say $1,000. Say $1,000. Yeah, he'll go for it. Don't worry, he will. Just say it'll keep him awake at night. He'll get 7 hours and 41 minutes, definitely.
This is his coffee. He uses a tablespoon of coconut oil, some... Shagger.
Pardon?
Is this a shagger mushroom powder? Sorry,
Shagger mushroom powder? He
can only read what's on the card.
I remember him, yeah. He was very big on the dance hall scene, if I remember rightly.
Yeah. Great for the immune system.
Yeah.
A little bit of potassium, not palassium.
Palassium.
Laurie Palassium.
Yeah. Mark Palassium, the owner of Tranmere Rovers. What's wrong with you?
Colostrum.
Oh,
know
that's
that
not
is.
Bad. You and a collagen. Nice bag of that.
I use low mycotoxin coffee. Really? Wow. Well done for you. I'll just read this last.
This could be Alan Brazil's day, couldn't it?
It's
just
really.
Not killing me softly. This.
While I'm having my coffee, I fill out a spreadsheet on my computer, inputting my weight, my urine pH, my hydration, and how well I've slept.
Wow. You couldn't do that. Not if there's foxes outside in front of your house.
Yeah, I bet you didn't get up in the middle of the night, mate.
Yeah.
Throw that out of the
window.
He has
to have 7:41. Get the foxes outside his place. It'd really throw him out.
I think I'll drive them around.
Really throw him out, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And...
anything else?
Basically, I get dressed, then stand on the balcony in my flat in South London, which clears my mind.
Yeah.
I then feed my mind by reading for 20 minutes. Well, like everybody else, you read the papers. Well done.
Yeah.
Tremendous. Anyway, we'll come back to him later on.
Aaron says he's heard Alan try the old urine trick on the foxes in his garden, but it resulted in the foxes being unable to walk in straight lines. They were walking up to other foxes saying, I love you. You're fantastic. Yeah.
And a congratulations in from the Times wedding announcements to Mr. D.G. Hamilton and Lady A.C.A. Montague Douglas Scott. So you've got three, that's basically six names in one person.
A.C.A. Montague Douglas Scott.
They've written it as Amabel, but I think it must be a typo. I think it must be Annabelle, because no one's called Amabel.
And she's marrying someone...
She's the younger daughter of the Duke and Duchess of Buccleuch and Queensberry.
Okay, but she's marrying a fella called what?
Douglas Hamilton, younger son of Captain and Mrs. Collins.
So she'll be Hamilton, Montague, Douglas.
Yeah.
What's the fourth name?
Montague Scott. Oh. Montague Douglas Scott.
That sounds like a back four, doesn't it, when someone starts talking about the classic side from 1952 that won the title.
Or Hamilton Montague.
Montague Douglas Scott. Remember those four? We'll never be able to find anybody
we'll never
like
replace
that again.
Them. They're tremendous.
Can I ask a technical question, yeah. Andy? Have the good people at Apple lowered their junk filter? Either that, or I'm excessively getting lots of invitations to meet up with Eastern European women.
Are you?
Or lose weight. Because my junk filter has always worked spectacularly well. Mm. But I've noticed in the last couple of months, unless they're pinpointing me for some reason.
I'm getting offered
all sorts of stuff that I don't look at unless I look so in what's
I
in the junk
I had one from last week from a bloke who claimed to be an American army officer in Afghanistan. He needed to speak to me urgently.
Did he really?
Well, no, obviously I didn't bother
Maybe
to
he's
find
got a
it.
Problem with foxes.
Maybe he has.
Could be. Going back to your impressions from earlier on, somebody didn't put their name on this, said your impression of Unai Emery sounded like Chris Eubank doing an impression of Unai Emery. Which is special, isn't it, really?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport. Don't ask me.
Time then to quiz Andy. Five questions based on last week's shows. On Friday, we spoke to Mark Hoyle, a.k.a. Lad Baby, not Lady Baby, as it says here. Vlogger and Forest. Vlogger and Forest fan. And his number one hit, he was talking about Forest, his number one hit at Christmas was We Built This City on What, Andy?
Sausage Rolls.
Aye, you're on fire.
Oh, yeah, man.
We spoke on Thursday to one of a boxing family. One of them just signed for Eddie Hearn, Matrim, and they are the famous Watt family. What's the surname?
Smith.
Smith, well done. That's what Liam we have a chat with. Why did we speak to Nick Blachowiak on Wednesday? He was organising something.
Nick Blachowiak, I can't even remember his name. I didn't say
what was,
name.
What was Nick organising?
What was Nick organising? That's a really good one. That's a tough question.
It is.
Wednesday, Nick was organising something. It'd be like something mad, one of those mad competitions.
It's not a name.
Yes. Brick Lane.
When Harry met Sally.
Brick Lane competition.
Well, that's right, it was.
Hello.
Trevor Robinson is the club secretary who could benefit from the Euro Millions win of Patrick and Francis Connolly. The team are called something St. Francis. What's the first word missing there?
Oh, come on. It's something like Barnsley St. Francis. It isn't, is it? It's something like that.
It was Hartlepool, Andy. Oh, I'm sorry, you ran out of time. And very quickly, Peter Dowdswell eats things. He was going to go for the world sausage eating record.
Yeah.
He'd eaten something quite unusual. We spoke to him about, what was it?
Supermarket trolley.
A shopping trolley, that's right. He'd eaten a shopping trolley.
You don't forget something. You don't forget something like that.
Yeah. That's it. So we'll do it all again next week. We'll catch up with you tomorrow. Nearly. Yeah, not so bad. Barnsley St. Francis.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
There we are. Good to see Kevin. And Don't Ask Me, Andy. A sterling effort, I felt, in Don't Ask Me
thank
today.
Thank you very much, yeah.
Barnsley St. Francis was the only thing that did for you.
Yes,
but,
there you go.
But that was quite exciting. I thought I pitched them quite well. And you did very well to dredge up the World Bricklaying Championship.
Thank you very
so
much,
well
yes.
Done.
Good.
So we'll do that again next week. And we're back here tomorrow from 1.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.